The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Yabba toy, here we go. Okay, now I can hear myself. Yabba toy, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, once again, Mr. Hassan Godwin.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
And we also have a special guest co-host today, which is Suburban Fairy Tales creator and Archie Comics writer, Mr. Francis Bonet.
That's me. Studio. Happy to be here.
There you go. On this week's show, we're going to have Elman Jenny Feldy interviewing actress Lilo Grunewald. But before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the news.
It's Morphin time!
This is the news, not the
this
not
is the news,
news.
Yes.
Okay. All right,
The news is brought to you in part by the fine folks of sci-fi.radio. That is sci-fi. As well as the fine folks of the Big Apple Con, which we are the official radio show of, celebrating with 26, 7, 8, 9 years of culture-ness and conflicts. Why is that? Do you find that funny?
Nothing. No, keep going.
This is your first time here on the
show?
Don't
interrupt your flow, man. Don't interrupt your flow.
The next convention is scheduled all the way November the 21st of this year. Tickets are not on sale
right
now.
No, you can't have them. Don't ask us because we ain't got none.
Also, I want to give a shout out to our Patreons, of which they are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, News, the famous Resident Media, Chad Rabbit Art, Yasmin Ray, The Hurricane, and Millie Portes. You want to have your own little shout out, go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. Little button on there takes you right to our Patreon page. Also on the It Came From Radio website is my book, Designated, book about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source. The war finds its way to planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain abilities. Issue 1 and Issue 2 is now out, available to buy.
I'm holding out for the three alien races. Like, when you gotta up the ante every time, right? So now there'll be three aliens. And
it'll be Issue another. 3, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
A new
you
alien
see how
race
it works?
In every issue.
You see? Marketing. Need to talk to us before you write Issue 3.
Well, Issue 3's been written 30 years ago.
Oh, don't say that.
You need more aliens than there are Pokemon.
Yes. That's marketing, man. Don't, it's not us. It's not us, it's marketing. It's
so speaking of marketing...
the cold,
also,
evil hand of commerce.
On Wednesday, June the 10th, at the Eastman Public Library, we're going to have our 106th live show. I think it's 106, might be 105. 100-something live show with award-winning musical theater writer and performer Sarah Kaufman. They'll
you
be
sure?
giving away. Yes, that's right here.
Sure,
I'm reading it right off the paper.
Okay.
That's the name.
Oh, you got the flyer.
Yeah, I got the flyer.
Cheating.
There's no misprint on there, right?
No
misprint.
They will be giving away a autographed copy of their book, and also will be raffling off two tickets to the Trek Long Island Convention, which is a convention about Star Trek in Long Island.
Yep. We hosted for that, didn't we?
Stephanie Gangwon is here as a guest 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yes, we hosted. See, it all ties together. It rhymes. It's poetry.
Hold on. So normally...
I'm promoting the show.
Normally, we would take away with the sad news. But this week, we have no sad news.
We do. We just didn't do research. Someone's dead. There's definitely someone dead.
Someone somewhere.
Yeah. A bunch of people died. There's whole messes of people that... Marcia Lucas died. George Lucas's original wife, who helped to who helped to edit the original Star Wars.
Save Star Wars.
I did not know that.
Save I don't know about save. I mean, that's overplayed. She definitely tremendously contributed.
Okay, I call it save.
Tremendous contribution.
If you watch the documentaries and you see all the behind the scenes stuff, she tremendously contributed to save Star Wars.
Well, how do you know his original cut wasn't better than the final cut?
Exactly.
Francis Ford Coppola said it was crap.
No, Francis Ford Coppola did not. You're thinking of the other guy.
The other guy.
Yeah.
Who is not Francis Ford Coppola.
Who is not Francis Ford Coppola.
What's his name?
Scorsese.
Oh, Martin Scorsese said it was crap.
Scorsese said it was. He didn't say it was crap. Well, he said it was rough.
Paraphrasing.
He said it was rough. You're saying it was crap.
Okay, yes. All right.
So you're
anyway,
killing time. So please move on with
yes,
your schedule.
So no sad news, so we're going to take
except
a quick break.
Except for Marshall Lucas, that's pretty
and
sad.
And we'll be right back with Cameron Radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com.
Calling all comic fans, Hurricane, Long Island's only benefit comic art convention returns in 2026. Join us May 9th and December 12th at Bethany Congregational Church, East Rockaway, New York. Grab toys and collectibles, dig through comic books, meet artists and writers, enter amazing raffles, enjoy food, fellowship, and rock your cosplay. Just a $5 donation gets you in from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit Hurricane on Facebook and on Instagram. It's Hurricane LI for details. Hurricane, where heroes unite for good.
Meet Grimlock having fun on It Came From The Radio.
Meet Greg Berger also.
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Hi, folks. Andy Robinson here. And like all the good things in life, it came from the radio. Thank you.
BKG Productions, LLC, your ultimate audio transformation partner. Got audio that needs a magic touch? I am here to elevate your content. Specializing in professional audio editing, I can clean up background noise, plosives, and pesky S sounds. From podcasts to songs, I've got you covered. Whether it's an interview, music track, setting volumes to precise specs, email bkgvobiz@gmail.com or go to fiverr.com, search for BK Graves 1, and trust me to make your sound sparkle.
Hi, I'm Alina Watko. I play Hyrel on Star Trek Discovery, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Hi, this is Amy Jo Johnson, writer-director from the film The Space Between, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
This is Carrie Steller from In the Girls Corner, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From The Radio, the official of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking with Mr. Hassan Godwin in the studio.
Yay.
And Mr. Francis Bonet joining us for this week's show.
Haven't left yet.
He left and he came back. Alright, so let's see. We'll do some regular news. Let's see. From the...
That's a lot of nuts!
Department. The new Star Wars film, Mandalorian, Grogu, whatever it's called, has taken the number one spot in the domestic box office. I wrote it down wrong, and I realized I wrote it down wrong as I was reading it. I was like, uh-oh.
Why didn't you just ask me, the Star Wars guy, what the name of it was, and I could have helped you.
The new Star Wars film, which is, Hassan?
Mandalorian, whatever it is.
has taken the number one spot in domestic box office, pulling in $81.6 million in ticket sales in its first week of release, beating out the horror film Obsession, which came in at the number two spot, making an additional $23.9 million in its third week of release. For those of you keeping track, the Super Mario sequel is the highest grossing film of this year so far, with $425.1 million, followed by Project Hail Mary with $340.8 million. Mr. Hassan Godwin, as a Star Wars guy, or the former Star Wars guy, the guy formerly known as Star Wars guy, did you see Mandalorian?
I did.
And what did you think?
It was very good.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
I heard the opposite from somebody else.
Okay.
But I'm gonna listen to you because you're the Star Wars guy.
Francis, did you? Obviously, you didn't.
I didn't see it.
So much more than that.
I did. I mean, obviously, I watched the show when it was Disney Plus. I kind of. It was hard to get through season three.
Oh.
So I'm probably going to wait for it to come out on Disney Plus.
You didn't
before.
Like season 3? I don't know.
It wasn't my favorite. It wasn't awful, but season 1 and 2 were pretty fun.
Okay.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope.
No? All right. So then we'll just move on.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. moving on. Let's see what I have here.
Because, I mean, you know.
Oh, here we go.
Here's the thing. Everyone who is saying that there's not much to the movie now
right.
are the same people who complained that there was too much to the show in season 3, that they pivoted too far away from the main plot.
Okay.
So this movie is a pivot right back to the main plot of just like a lone wolf and cub, the guy and his son going to take jobs and take down fools in the galaxy. And now everyone's like, well, there's no lore, and they don't advance the plot, and they don't... So, I mean... No matter what, people would have not have liked season 3.
Right, gotcha.
So, and no matter what, we would have been stuck here because we no longer live in a time where people like lore and stories and they just want to partake in these things. People just want to watch things topple.
Okay.
And they want to invest their own personality in these things. And usually the best way to get a reaction out of people is to not like something. Which is why you never heard me complain about the things I don't like. I don't do that anymore.
That's right.
Because I don't want to be anybody.
Did you like the Book of Boba Fett?
Yes.
I like that he's giving me that look like I want to say more, but...
I did like it, but there are things about the Book of Boba Fett that I thought could have been better. But I ultimately did enjoy the Book of Boba Fett.
I did like it too.
There you go.
I did. I enjoyed it.
Now we have
Equilibrium.
It was basically The Mandalorian, like season 2.5.
Yeah.
Or what was it, 1.5?
Yes, eventually. That's my one issue with it. If you have a main character, don't bring in your other main character to outshine your main character.
Yeah.
I even like the accolade until the end.
Don't bring Cloy and Vance in to outdo Bo and Luke.
Yes. But they didn't outdo Bo and Luke.
No, I'm saying, but that's what you don't
do. Yeah, and everybody really disliked them. Also, don't be Coy and Vance when they tell you you're going to replace Bo and Luke, because that's not going to work out for you. No one's ever going to see you again. Please continue with your show.
So, moving on, from the sounds like the Wu-Tang Clan of comics to me
we
department.
We pay too many people for nothing. That's when
none other than Argent Comics, which is a high-end fine art comic book publisher, has announced a, quote, avant-garde edition, unquote, of Batman the Killing Joke, which, for those of you who didn't know, or care for that matter, is a graphic novel published by DC Comics way back in 1988, and, at the time, was a groundbreaking story regarding the Joker, his relationship with Batman, and the, spoilers, paralyzation of the original Batgirl.
Written by Alan Moore, I do believe.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The book comes inside a replica camera modeled after the one used in the story. The comic itself is produced using GICLEE printing techniques, which is described as an advanced fine art inkjet process used to produce high quality gallery standard reproductions, unquote. The book will also be bound between aluminum covers lined with goat skin leather, and only 47 copies will be created. Which,
it's
for you science
only
nerds,
gonna cost you $500 to get a comic book you already have.
But so it's limited to 47 copies, which is for you science nerds, the atomic number of silver. And each copy includes a signature from the original artist Brian Boland and uses the original coloring by John Higgins, which was not used in the deluxe reprint of the graphic novel in 2008.
But strangely enough, it's not autographed by
Alan Moore. Right.
Hmm.
So how much? Well, you already said $500. How much do you think this would go for, Hassan? 47 copies made after this. Enormous description.
It can't be anything under 200.
Under 200, what do you say, Francis?
Well, you said the cover was made of human skin or
yes, human flesh.
Goat skin leather.
Don't laugh, Kiss did it.
47.
I guess 47 I'm gonna say it's $400. I'm just making a guess.
$400, Hassan says $500. Brian, are we ready? It is $17,400.
So it is made of human skin.
And Argent Comics is encouraging interested buyers to schedule private appointments at its headquarters, which is in Croatia, to view the edition in person before purchasing.
How much of a discount do I get if I trade in my old copy?
Without you know, 1 minute paper? Signature, without an Alan Moore signature, without they want $17,000.
$17,400?
No.
Plus the trip to Croatia.
Well, it's 400, so you don't round it up, so you round it down. It doesn't get to if it was 17,500, then you would round it up.
Okay.
Right? So it's $17,000 they want.
Right. Plus shipping.
That's...
And they're encouraging you to fly down to Croatia to pick it up.
Of course. Yeah. Why would they bring it? Why would they send it to you?
Turn it into a vacation.
Yes, in Croatia.
That's a flight. It's like a flight plus a two-way flight, round-trip flight.
Oh, my God, $17,000.
If you have $17,000 for that book, you can hire somebody to go get it for you.
Clearly, yes.
But then you wouldn't
And you're just dumb enough to do so.
But you wouldn't be able to inspect it yourself if you're going to go down there.
It comes with its own replica camera,
replica
so
camera.
I guess that's worth seven.
Skin leather, 47
oh my
made.
God. Oh.
Nothing. Francis, you got anything?
I don't have anything that we could put on the air.
Yeah,
I don't have a reaction we could actually record here.
I mean, if someone gave it to me, I would accept it.
Oh, really?
If someone gave me $17,000, I would accept it.
Yeah, so. And I would sell it.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
So you would sell it. That's what if you got it. Oh,
I have a rule. If anything that I have is worth, like a collectible is worth over $10,000, it gets sold.
Really?
That's my rule. I don't have anything that's worth $10,000.
Neither do I.
Okay.
I have nothing worth $10,000.
Yeah, like if I have a Beanie Baby or a Pop figure or something that's worth $10,000 and was willing to give me $10,000 for it, it's yours.
Yeah, all yours. Give me the $10,000. You can have it. I'll bring
so
it to you.
You should have made your own. Leather goatskin bound copy of Suburban Fairy Tales, limited to 47, and you can sell it.
That sounds like a lot of work, but you know what? The wheels are turning.
The amount of disgust on Hassan's face right now is great because he's in the studio. I'm able to see this. If he was on the phone, I wouldn't be able to see it, but I could feel the burn.
You would be able to hear it though. You would be his phone would be shaking. Wow. All right.
So moving on. From the. We have reached the next step follow-up department.
Wait, that wasn't the next step? The last thing? Because that feels like the next step to me.
As previously mentioned on a previous episode of our show, during last year's LA Comic-Con, Proto Hologram, an AI company that makes virtual quote-unquote experiences where they take a likeness of a certain person and using AI turn them into an interactive cube where you can talk to and communicate with said person, created the Stan Lee Experience, where you can get a 3-minute conversation with an AI version of Stan between $15 and $20. Now, 11 Labs, another AI company, has acquired Stan's voice and likeness for commercial use. Executives say, Stan has always believed in meeting his fans wherever they are, in the pages of a comic, at a convention, or on a quick on-screen cameo. This partnership is a way of continuing that. Fans have always told us that they would read his comics, they hear the words in Stan's voice, and now, thanks to 11 Labs, we can make that a reality. 11 Labs users will be able to hear a replica of Stan's voice narrate audiobooks, including via the Stan Lee Book Club of the Month, and generate a comic book panel featuring Stan Lee from his templates using his likeness. For those of you who don't know, who haven't been paying attention or care, 11 Labs also has the voice rights to other celebrities such as Michael Caine, Matthew McConaughey, Judy Garland, David Hasselhoff, James Earl Jones, and Albert Einstein, just to name a few. Francis, what do you think of that?
This is the downfall of society.
So, AI Stan Lee.
I don't even know where to begin.
it's interesting how my panel is stumped for this week's show of the amazing news that we've brought to you.
I mean, it's not him. It's not him.
Right.
Like, we're being slowly destroyed from the inside out, and you expect us to, like, have a coherent reaction to all of this.
It's a chatbot. You're talking to a chatbot that just happens to sound like Stan Lee.
Right.
I don't know. I'm speechless here.
Francis got nothing. Hassan is looking up his 11 Labs thing because he's going to make him the AI say something because you did that last time, if I remember correctly.
I'm not.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I'd rather talk to, like a voice actor who can mimic the voice of Stan Lee, because at least he's a real person.
Right. So, you would go to a convention to meet... one of my favorite episodes of Married with Children, one of my favorite TV shows of all time...
I love Married with Children.
...had the season opener of season 2, where they met the guy who met Andy Griffith. That was like... That's what you want, is to talk to the guy who kind of sounds like Stan Lee. That's your plan?
I mean, I don't want to talk. I would rather talk to Stan Lee.
Right.
But, you know, I wouldn't pay to talk to a chatbot.
Okay.
That's my thing. If I was at a convention, I would maybe talk to
This is the absolute downfall of humanity.
Yes, yes.
That was legit.
And Michael Caine does not approve.
All right. You got anything else before I move on?
Okay, look. It's kind of cool to be able to use these things for your own use. And so if you want to hear something read by Stan Lee for yourself, that's fantastic. But if anyone's going to push that off as though you are interacting with Stan Lee himself when you get his cloned voice to read some kind of political, you know, or corporate spiel, it's it's false. You're not interacting with Stan Lee. It's macabre at that point. Right?
Yeah.
Anything you use for yourself, fine. Anything you're going to commercialize as the, you know, with the as though you have the consent of the celebrity to use their voice and their likeness to do or say something, it is indeed the destruction of our society.
To be fair, they did get the permission of the estate, so they, just putting that out there.
They got the permission to use their likeness, but you cannot take, you cannot say that. If I make Stan Lee say that
drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah, you should all you should always have spaghetti with you know, with tuna fish. That's not a position that actual Stan Lee would have, right? I'm trying to be as benign as humanly possible.
Drink Ovaltine, I was killing.
Yeah, I get the Ovaltine, but that was that, but he said that. I can't piggyback on that. That was his
That's
aside.
What AI does.
I don't want to be AI.
All right. So, moving on. Let's see if we can do this one.
Let's see if we... What in God's name?
Speaking of David Hasselhoff...
Oh.
His voice was one of the...
No, we were not speaking of David Hasselhoff. That is not a correct segue.
You didn't tell me we were going to be talking about David Hasselhoff, but we got here.
That is an improper use of a segue. I reject that segue.
That was an AI segue. That wasn't AI segue. That was AI mark.
Okay, yeah, that was AI mark. All right.
From the It Must Have Been Car Department.
Oh, boy.
None other than the Volo Museum in Illinois, which, for those of you who don't know, is a museum that has many original and replicas of famous movie and TV show cars, just received a traffic ticket for its Knight Rider car, despite the car never having left the museum. Apparently, they received a $50 traffic ticket from Brooklyn, New York, alleging that the car was doing 35 in a 25 mile per hour zone on April the 22nd. The ticket came complete with traffic camera photos showing a black Trans Am with the California license plate Knight, the same plate that the car he had on the show, and the novelty ones unregistered car. The license plate is also connected to five other unpaid traffic violations in New York City since late 2024.
What?
The museum says the fact that they're legally tied to a movie prop is interesting. We're known for having our Hollywood cars and TV movies, but I have no idea how this got registered and how it got a ticket in New York to the place in California to the museum in Illinois. We're still trying to figure it out.
AKA,
it's really amusing.
We ain't paying for this.
Was Stan Lee driving the
car?
Send
us as many tickets as you want. We ain't paying for this because it wasn't us.
We want to find out who this Knight Rider guy is because
he's racking up tickets all over the place.
He was in the SpongeBob movie.
How did they catch him? He's in Super Pursuit mode. How did they get a picture of him?
We just want to know if this is from a museum, if this is a guy who built this car as a hobby. It looks pretty accurate, and we'd like to meet those guys. That's
nice.
He's out fighting crime. The helpless, the powerless.
Well, the car can talk. Why don't you just ask it?
Yeah. In a world of criminals that operate above the law, Mark.
But first of all,
he's a shadowy flight into a into a
super pursuit
to the world of a man that doesn't exist.
Was not that much faster than the regular mode. That's always bothered me about Knight Rider. Because I remember in the original series, they had the little digital mode, when it's like 300 and something, and super mode, 300 and something. Like, it's not much faster.
Yeah, but it was, but it had like fins and stuff, and then it was. It looked faster.
Look cooler.
It just looked faster and cooler. Yes.
No super pursuit mode in this car.
You're the guy, like, you watch those things with you, and you're like ruining the whole show for the kids.
No, wait.
It's not any faster than that.
As people who have known me quite some time, I used to be like everybody else. But then, the movie Independence Day was the one that broke me. So as I was watching Independence Day, the first one, ID4, watching the theaters, I'm like, oh, it's pretty good. And I had a couple.
Which leads you to believe there was a fourth Independence Day. Like, go ahead.
I had a couple of issues with it, but I enjoyed it so much, I was like, I'm going to watch it again. And I watched it the second time, and I was like, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, and that doesn't make sense. And all of a sudden, the cracks
started to come apart.
And then I watched it a third time, and more and more and more and more, and I stopped watching after the fifth time, because I'm like, I can't watch it ever again, because I'm gonna see more and more of this fragile cracks of the system. And then ever since that point, I've just been stuck on criticizing and my logical.
Like comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Yes, that's my story. That's what actually happened.
Worst episode ever.
I should now return to my shop where it is I who dispense the insults.
So, Knight Rider, what do you think? is it some guy just?
I mean, if someone created like a kit that's awesome, and I would like to meet this person.
It's a shadowy flight to a dangerous world of a man who does not exist. That guy doesn't exist, Mark.
That belongs in a museum.
Yes.
But the fact that somebody managed to register the car,
there are
that
tons
blows
of them.
My mind.
There are tons of them out there.
But
I will
it's
tell you
legally
honestly,
registered
because yes, well they have to be
with
registered
California?
To be.
You can't have more than one car with the same license plate.
It's not. There's a guy in New York with a Knight.
With
a Knight
California,
driver's plate.
But from California, that's the whole thing.
It doesn't matter. It's just a replica. Because Knight Rider was in California. He was based out of California. Yeah. So his license plate said California.
Okay.
It's just a replica.
Okay.
All right? One time I was on the street, and because I'm not a millennial, I missed out. Right in front of me, as I was trying to cross the street, was the DeLorean. Complete with Mr. Fusion and the exhaust and everything. And
yeah,
I never got a picture of it. But they're just trolling around New York.
Okay.
They're doing whatever they want.
So he got a traffic ticket. That's the whole story.
No, he didn't.
Story.
He doesn't exist.
So we're almost out of time.
Thank God.
Do you have a final thought?
Don't use AI. Just stop using AI. Stop it. It's a travesty. It's all a travesty.
Francis, final thought?
I would rather have a DeLorean than the Knight Rider car.
Well, I guess time travel.
So,
for time travel, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
All right. So that is it for the new segment of this
have
show.
Any
everybody listening to us on the air, we'll see you next week. Everybody else, stay tuned for more. It came from the radio.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe. And I am here at CradleCom, and I am with It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. Just want to take a few minutes out of the show's time to talk about the new independent film Obsession. Now, I have to say that I had heard of this movie a little while ago, but I was more invested in it because the lead actress, she was in Superman and Lois. She played the daughter, one of the daughters of the other family, which I can't think of right now. And Superman and Lois, as I have mentioned, was probably the best hands-down Superman from beginning to end series that I have ever seen. And it ruined Superman for me. And I was a diehard Christopher Reeve Superman fan. But Superman 4 wasn't that good. But this, Superman and Lois, was great all the way through. And while she didn't have a huge part in the show, she had a significant role in the show. And then they brought her back for the finale because there was budget cuts. But it was really good to see her in Superman and Lois. And then I heard that she's going to be starring in this new horror movie, which had an interesting take. So I was like, I would like to go see this movie. So then, before I had the opportunity to see this movie, the internet went crazy about it. They were talking about it. It was getting big hype, and then it made a good gajillion dollars in the theater, which is really awesome. And then it started to remind me of like the Blair Witch Project, how they were talking about this little independent movie and how it's doing so exceptionally well in the theaters, and now it's becoming a thing in and of itself of this movie. And what I found also interesting is all the discussions about the movie. So the internet wasn't just like, oh, it was a good movie, it was a scary movie. But they had all these discussions, which you can go through a huge rabbit hole down to learn more and debate about this movie, which reminded me of the movie Descent, because that was a pretty darn good movie, and it had a discussion compared to it. Not as huge as this movie is, but to me, it was a great comparison. So I heard about all this stuff. I was like, all right, I got to go see it. I had already decided I was going to see it, so I didn't need to see any trailers for it. I heard about it. I tried to stay away from any information as much as possible beyond that the indie was in the film. And I go see it, and I was pleasantly surprised. I have to agree that the acting was top-notch. They had some really creepy moments, and as a horror fan, I appreciate that, and it had some really funny and good moments as well. And spoilers now, we're getting to a spoiler section of the review. There was one scene that a lot of people aren't talking about, which was, I guess I'll go spoiler adjacent, which was basically the idea is that this guy who's really into this girl, he decides to find a item which is called the One Wish Willow, that if you use it, I mean, it grants any wish. It's played off pretty straightforward, and listening to all the stuff about the movie after the fact, which is what I did, was I watched the movie, enjoyed the movie, and then I managed to go look at the trailers, and I managed to do all my homework on it, so I was able to learn more after the fact. And basically, there's a whole bunch of questions and of observations that a lot of people are making, and that there's plenty of interviews about what the director has to say, what the actresses have to say, what the actors have to say. Very, very, very interesting. But there was one of the wishes, because there are multiple wishes in the movie, was hilarious, and I think nobody's talking about that enough. I thought that for a horror film, it wasn't super scary, very enjoyable. I don't even know if I would say it would even be in the top best thing I've seen this year. Probably going to get an honorable mention, but it was good enough that it makes me want to see it a second time, and that's rare for me nowadays. I probably see movies once, I'm like, I don't need to see it again. But this one, I find, has a great deal of rewatchability, so I'm planning on going back to see it again. And now that I know the movie inside and out, pretty much based on all the rabbit hole things I've done, I'll probably see it in a different way. And I think that would be the test if it's a really good movie for me or not. As I remember, I saw 12 Monkeys, and there was something in it about how, depending where you're at when you watch the movie, you get a different viewing experience, and that made me enjoy the movie more. So I believe that this movie will be the same way. I did want to quickly mention that if you go online, you can find, because apparently this was the director/writer's first feature film ever, and he's like a young guy, like in his 20s. They took it to the film festivals, and it got picked up at the Toronto International Film Festival, if I'm not mistaken, TIFF, and it got distribution, and then they got a couple of studio notes, and they did some reshoots and alterations, and the movie sat for a while, and it finally came out, and apparently a part of the reshoots was the beginning of the movie to more better establish the characters, and also the alternate takes was very interesting as well. One of the things that I learned about was one of the baits was that if the main character did or did not like the guy in the movie before the wish was used on her. And the other thing I found was also interesting is that in no uncertain terms, the director or writer said that she was not possessed. So I think it was also interesting as to what exactly the wish was, what exactly happened to the main character, and also what happens after the movie ends. I have mentioned many times before that when there's a hype train and it gets too big for its britches, I tend to stay away from stuff like that. And probably had I had not had a previous interest in the movie beforehand, I might have actually stayed away with it, and I think I would have regretted it. Much like with K-pop Demon Hunters, I just refused to watch that movie because there's too much hype behind it. I wasn't interested in the beginning, and now that it's so popular, I'm like, I'm probably not going to live up to the expectations. But in this one, I'm kind of glad I caught it early on. I was already invested for it, and I'm actually kind of happy that an independent film made this amount of money, and hopefully, they will let studios make more independent films, pick them up, make more stuff out there for all of us to enjoy. I say everybody should go out to watch this movie. If you haven't seen it once, go see it once. If you've seen it once, go see it again. Good movie, entertaining. It will live up to the expectations for the most part. I think you should go in blind and should try to see it without all the extra stuff. And then you can appreciate it more on the second watching. But other than that, I say I enjoyed it, and you should too. So with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more. It Came From the Radio.
Hi, I'm Olivia Youngers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
You are listening to It Came From the Radio. I'm here with the vivacious. Oh, I already messed it up. Look what happened. See, you know what? We're living in an imperfect world. You're seeing my imperfections. Did I ever tell you I was perfect? No. We're here with the vivacious actress, writer, host, and she's many other things. We're not just our titles in this life. Lilo Grunwald. Hello.
Woo!
All right, so you are an actress for several years. I haven't counted exactly how many years, but you've been acting for a while. You're not new to this business at all. You've been in this business before AI was pretty big, and now AI is kind of like taking over. So what are some pros?
I am actually AI, by the way.
Right? I wouldn't be. We're going to see some AI that looks like you for sure, because I know I'm not going to name their names, but I know at least one man that has a big crush on you. So, you know, I can see them making AI based off of you. So in all your time being an actress, what are some pros being in the business? And then what are some cons?
That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. On how to put this business. I'm not sure there are pros and cons. I think there are regrets and bad choices. No, I don't quite know how to answer pros and cons. I guess the pros would be booking something and then getting to work and meet with other really like-minded individuals who are mm-hmm. on the same page. That, I guess that to me would be the pros. Working with the pros would be the pros. Cons. All the work and money we have to put into this business. I feel like the cons far outweigh the pros in this business because, you know, we're all in it for the wins. We're all in it to work, especially if it's been like me, it's been my dream since I'm a child. It's been my vision, my quest, my passion throughout all of these years. I've put a lot of money into it, and you don't necessarily mm-hmm. get that money back in return.
Yeah.
So it truly has to be your passion.
Definitely for someone that keeps their headshots up to date, you know, I guess technically I had headshots updated September 28th, but I don't really invest in that too much. That alone can be like $1,000 just to get new headshots. So that alone is a lot. And then you have acting classes and you have traveling to the set. And I'll say that, you know, my con of being an actor, performer, and in the spotlight is being in shape. Sometimes I like to get fat, which I did like about a month ago. I ate all these processed food. I'm not going to say the name brand, but there's certain types of chips, there's certain types of cereal, and there's certain types of breads that they say you could eat. And they're like, oh, only 300 calories. And I gained 9 pounds in a week. It would be nice to just be able to get really fat and gross and let my hair grow out. But you really can't, because then you really can't be on camera unless you want to play a monster.
Right. Well, and of course, there are, you know, some famous actors out there that they gain a lot of weight for certain roles. Mm-hmm. But it wreaks havoc on your body. So I don't know if I can necessarily do something like that. But sure. Yeah, that is very easy to gain weight at this point. I can totally see myself. Ice cream, cookies, cake, and it comes on very quickly.
Yeah, 9 pounds in a week. But I was a makeup artist. So I said, oh, you know, it helps me to go to sleep. I got to get up at 3 a.m. So I would just carb load every single day for a week. And I got to set on time and I woke up at 3 a.m, but I gained a lot of weight. All right. So speaking of that, as an actor, your body and your mind is your instrument. Your mind's got to be sharp. You got to make decisions. You got to react. You know, a lot of acting isn't just saying your lines. It's reacting to your partner, having your reactions intact. And what ruins your reactions? Alcohol, some drugs, processed foods. Mm-hmm. So what are things you do to keep your body and mind sharp?
I like to work out, you know, especially when, I try. I've always done something, whether it was outdoors, but right now I'm going to the gym because it's winter. And I just try to, try to do my cardio and try to, do some weights and just, it does calm the mind, as you know. Yeah, I do. I like to do that. Yeah.
And it gives you confidence too. Yeah. I think it helps with confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to rollerblade a lot when I lived in LA. I to bike ride in the warm weather. What do you do for working out? Do you work out at home?
I wrote a whole health guide book. I used to teach ab and butt makeovers back in the day. I'm going to go back to that. So it's like a whole system for your butt, your abs. But you know what? I have not really kept up with it since 2020. So my butt is not really showing where it would be. Because guess what? If you do leg days, for me, some people can do it. For me, if I do a serious leg day, it's going to give me results, which I really need to do at least one a week. That's 4 times a month. My brain doesn't really work for 3 to 5 days. And a lot of things I do, acting, radio, no longer stand up. As soon as I stand up, I stopped doing leg days because I could not be quick on stage like a Robin Williams. My act is not, Stephen Wright, no offense. It's very wild and quick and reactive. So I couldn't do leg days. So if my mind's going to work, I can't really do the workouts. But like yesterday, I did really intense workouts. But guess what? I was so dumb after that I could just go to a film screening as a participant and there's no way I could do this.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting, balancing the mind and the body. Anyway, so speaking of looks, gonna get into plastic surgery and the trends. So I'm a makeup artist, by the way. If you're licensed, you don't need to get certified. Don't waste your time and don't waste your money. So I'm almost 42, and I on myself, full disclosure for me, is a wig, but I do professional level smoothing and anti-aging treatments on my hair because my hair is real crazy. I haven't colored my hair since 2020, so what you see is natural. Sometimes I dye my brows really dark. They're like, you can't even see them. And then I usually have painted nails. So that's what I do, and sometimes I self-tan and then makeup. But I don't have surgeries. I don't have any injections. You know, sometimes I use a plumping lip thing. Some of them do work. Yeah. I'll tell you which ones work for sure. Now, in the past month, I've done makeup on, I think she's like a 22-year-old with pumped up lips and lashes and Botox, and she looks great. But I'm saying that's where the type of skin, it's different type of makeup, a different type of look on screen. I've done makeup on 50, 60, 7-year-olds and 40-year-olds with natural wrinkled skin and, lines in the lips. So when I'm doing makeup on these things, whether it's to make them look older or younger, it's honestly, they look totally different on camera. One more piece of this is a very, very long intro to a question. I watched 3 episodes of this show that I was asked to act in. I'm not going to get into it, but what the show is, the guy's nose and lips, they're so crazy looking, and they grabbed all of my attention. This is actually what happened. I'm not trying to be funny or obnoxious, and the series is very successful now, and I couldn't tell you what it's about because I couldn't follow the story at all. I don't know what happened because I was so focused on and distracted by this guy's nose and face that I watched 3 full episodes. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. So what are your thoughts on faces and plastic surgery and distracting the viewer?
This is a great topic because I talk about this all the time. Mm. I've never had anything done. Mm-hmm. That is not to say if I could afford to get a little nip tuck, I probably would.
Hmm.
But they do say that aging is a gift. I watch TV a lot. I watch a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that I get so distracted looking at, and especially because I'm a woman, I'm looking at the women.
Right.
Especially women my age that they've had work done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Botox. They've had plastic surgery.
Yeah.
I find it completely distracting. Mm. It takes me out of the story because I am staring at their work. Mm-hmm. I'm staring at their face and I'm like,
Nicole Kidman.
That one, Nicole Kidman. I'm looking at her earlobes. I'm like, well, sure, because they're pulling all the skin back there. So it's making her ears look even bigger.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, while her plastic surgery is still acceptably great.
Yeah, she looks great.
But we know how old she is.
Right.
And, I know what happens to a woman's face because it's happening to mine.
Yeah.
But it's really distracting because it takes me right out of what they're saying, the dialogue. I'm like, where are they? And plus, you know, they all have all this beauty lighting too.
Yes.
So it's making them look. Yes, it's making them look even more flawless.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes us, like maybe even the younger girls, like.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know, I can't find the word, but it's intimidating.
Yeah, definitely. It's intimidating. I'm used to seeing a certain look, and I see myself, you know, at 42 without makeup and scary, you know, overhead fluorescent lighting, and it's like...
Horrible, yeah.
It does not look at all like what you see on camera unless they're trying to make someone look ugly, you know.
But I'm even noticing a lot of the men are getting plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Or they have, like, you know, they've gotten the permanent tattoo, whatever, you know, eyeliner, or, you know, the women that have the permanent, you know, all that permanent tattoo stuff. Yeah. It's completely distracting, I'm not going to lie.
Interesting. I will say, though, I think I saw the whole thing. I think it's a movie with Nicole Kidman, and she plays an older woman that's with a younger guy. So she's supposed to play, like, older and rich and someone that probably would get surgery and would be vain and highly sexual. So honestly, it worked because it worked with the character. But if you're just going to play, like, a regular mom that's, like, mid-level, not really rich... I can see how it would be really distracting, but I loved her Baby Girl, and I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect cast.
I do have to say, you know, I mean, yes, these women look beautiful. We were watching the morning show last night, and Jennifer Aniston has had quite a bit of work done.
Right.
And her jawline doesn't even look like a jawline anymore. It just goes, like, straight up. It's just a very weird angle. For the women that aren't getting any plastic surgery, I find it really more interesting to see all of those wrinkles and the age. I love the women that are, you know, staying true to themselves and not getting any plastic surgery. I just find it more interesting, and they can play. I feel like they can play a wider range of roles as actresses.
I guess we'll find out, because I'm probably not getting any plastic surgery. We'll see what happens with me, you know? Maybe I'll just play man roles. Maybe I'll just be blackballed. Or maybe people will like it. We'll find out. So switching gears entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, film sets are full of all different types of people. We have keto, vegan, Trump haters, MAGA lovers, people who love the scent of patchouli, and some who are deathly allergic to fragrance. So what do you think about people who wear perfume or cologne on set?
I hate it. Well, I'm very sensitive to scent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say, you know, you can do whatever you want. I especially dislike it when I'm working out, especially in the morning. I don't understand how people, I get it. You know, there are people that are, you know, going to work maybe after they work out, or maybe they've been to work and they're coming to work out, but early in the morning, if I feel like you have just bathed in perfume or cologne, I'm inhaling it when I'm on the treadmill or the pre-core, it's not lovely. Like, I want to sweat. I want to smell my own stink. Like, I don't want to smell your perfume. That's also distracting to me. I don't care for it. I mean, you know, there are doctor's offices that will not allow you to put scented lotions on, perfumes before your appointment, and they make it very clear when you make your appointment. And also it is supposed to be like this unsaid rule on set that you really shouldn't be wearing cologne or perfume because there are sensitive individuals. So I think it's a no. Don't wear perfume or cologne on set.
You know, I usually do that, but I got a couple of these, like, perfumes that supposedly, according to all the reviews, that wears off in, like, an hour or two. So who knows who could smell what. But one of them smells like chip cake, And I put it on my wrist, I think the last three or four times I did makeup. Even my car smells like Carvel right now. It smells so good. But I wonder, you know, when I'm doing it, I'm conscious and I always reflect. And I'm like, am I hurting someone's nose? Do they like this? Do they hate this? Is it just for me? I always wonder. So, you know what? I'm going to take a poll next time I do makeup and next time I'm set. And I'm going to ask people how I smell.
Okay. It's an interesting thing because especially as a makeup artist or somebody that does your hair, they're right in your face.
Exactly.
And I do recall several times where I'm like doing this because my nose itches from whatever they're wearing.
Yeah,
and that doesn't really play out well if they're doing your makeup. You're like wiping the makeup off.
No. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what these cupcake and waffle and churros and pistachio ice cream and tangerine. I got all these food scents. I like to smell like food. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to do a poll now.
Okay.
All right. So now, as an actress, well, you know what? You made a film called Pepper Science. I have to touch on this.
Sure.
I watched it. It was on my watch list for a while. It took me a while. I have all these things on a watch list, and sometimes it gets buried. But I finally watched it. I really enjoyed it. It was really fun. So could you tell us a little bit about this? Like, why'd you make this? What do you hope the viewer gets from this? What's this all about, this Pepper Science?
Well, thank you for asking and thank you for watching.
Loved it.
I was told many years ago by my manager that I needed some more mom material.
Oh.
And I went away for a job and I had a lot of downtime and I had a great place right off of the beach, and I would get up every morning and I would write, and it was in my mind to write something, and I just didn't know how it was going to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And I had started writing it before I even left, and then I kind of put it away, and through the encouragement of a friend, he's like, have you written it? Well, I guess I have time and I have no distractions. So it just came out of my brain. It wasn't anything, you know, they say write what you know. This wasn't something that I knew.
No.
It just was out of my brain, made up, and it started with a paperweight cat, which is in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with that, and I said, I can create something from that cat. And it just kind of blossomed from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I wanted to make a comedy because I didn't have any comedic skills. So I just thought, all right, well, I am going to make this small. I don't want it to be more than three people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do everything in my power to do it for free. I'm going to get free actors, I'm going to get a free crew, and I'm going to get a free place to film it in. So, and that's what I did. I asked my actor friends. I had them in mind when I wrote the script. So it was originally just supposed to be a quick scene, just a quick 1.5-page scene that I could use for footage.
Right.
Well, you know, for what they do on Actors Access, they want like a little clip. Like a 60-second clip. That is what I went into it intending it to be. And as I'm writing, I was like, oh boy, this is over 5 pages long. This is more of a short.
Yeah.
So I presented it to my two friends. They loved it. And they were like, let's do it. I said, great, because you were our target audience. So, and then we just did it, and it really was never meant to be a short. So I made a short, I got it edited, and I sent it to several festivals. It did well, you know. I mean, it was my first project, so it wasn't like didn't do great, but it did well, and it got some nice responses, and I made a movie. I could say I wrote a movie.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. I mean, let's see if I remember. It's a couple, a married couple, or it looks like they're together, a stable relationship. They have a child, and they have to go to the principal's office to talk about their child. And the principal is like playing with action figures, and I think she confiscates a bong and uses it. So you basically see the imperfect side of parents. And the imperfect or wacky side of a school principal that you might otherwise not see. And I always love to see behind the curtain. I prefer behind the scenes more than the regular movie sometimes. So to me, that's always fun to see sides of people.
That was like a last minute thing. All the things that you see the principal playing with were things that I found at the beach. Yes, when we took our dog to the beach, they were like, you know, little things that kids left behind. And I said, all right, I'm going to do something with these. And I put them in a box and I brought them to set that day. And I said, I want you to play with these. These are all toys that you have confiscated from the children.
That is perfect.
Yeah, that you're playing with. And what happens is, yes, we adopted our child and she's the brainiac and she's very smart and she wants to be a scientist. And she's confiscating our things from the house and using them as science experiments at school. But they're like, you know, things that she shouldn't be finding.
Right.
And
right.
So the parents are in the hot seat.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, not the kid, it's the parent.
Yeah.
So we get in trouble. Yeah.
With the principal who's doing all types of crazy stuff too, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing with the bong is, you know, she's like, I'm going to hold on to this until the end of the school year.
Yeah. That's Donna Morales.
Donna Morales. Yeah.
She's fantastic in everything. She's in a movie. I did executive produce. She plays a mean teacher. I've seen her in acting class and cried her scenes. She's just a phenomenal actress, and she should not quit.
No,
definitely not.
She's a great character actress, and if I was a casting director, I know exactly how to cast her.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, we're at the end of the interview, so why don't you just give us your final thought and where to find you, social media, websites, anything that's on your mind in about a minute or less.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Well, just so you all know, I am AI. That's who we were all talking to today. No, kidding. What was the question? No. You can find me on Facebook, Insta, TikTok, all those things at Lilo Grunwald. Mm-hmm. TikTok is at Lilo Grunwald. And I think Twitter, X, which I'm never on. I think it's a Lilo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all the same name. It's my maiden name that I use, and you can easily Google me, search me, Lilo Grunwald, IMDb, it's Lilo Grunwald, and come find me, say hi, friend me, say where you saw me.
I hope that you do more comedic shorts. I feel like you're very fun with comedy, and it was really fun to watch. So as a viewer and a watcher, you know, forget any of my involvement in this entertainment industry, I'd like to see more comedy from you. So
thank you.
Think about it. Maybe we'll see more.
I would love to do some more comedy. Yeah, but everyone keeps giving me the drama.
No, you know, whatever. You're enjoyable in both, but I like comedy. I mean, I'm someone who watched Zoolander and Caddyshack a million times, and I turned everything into comedy. You know, I'm wearing glasses that are fake right now. That's even comedy.
I love them. They look great.
So on that note, thank you. Thank you very much. On that note, we're going to finish up this interview, and we're going to go back to the studio with Mark Torres for more.
Right.
It Came from the Radio.
The Pata, if you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on the Came From the Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From the Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.